Ephesians 6, starting in verse 14. We'll be reading to verse 18. Who does not have a copy of the armor of God? Let's see your hands. Okay. Miss Irene, or Nolan, would you go and make several copies for our students? Actually, make two. I don't need that one. I have the original here. Make two. Okay. Okay. Ephesians 6, 14 through 18 says, "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." I'm not going to cover prayer because prayer is a very vast subject, especially praying in the Spirit. I am quite excited about what God's doing with our intercessors. It is growing, and I'm quite excited about it. The reason why I'm excited about it is because the intensity of the attacks upon me has increased, which is great. I know we're doing what God wants done. But today we're going to deal with the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And so far we've dealt with the belt of truth. We've dealt with breastplate of righteousness, the shod in our feet, or having shoes, sandals, whatever. Walking the good news out, the shield of faith. And today we're going to deal with the helmet. Now, all of you know that I'm bivocational. Yeah, especially when it used to be white and they turned it to green. And the object of the helmet of salvation was, again, we'll continue with the ancient warrior. He had a leather helmet to protect him from the weapons of the enemy to smack his skull in. In spiritual terms, it's the same thing. It's protect our head, our thought life, our will, our emotions. It's supposed to be centered around Jesus Christ. And these helmets today in modern times, in modern warfare, all armies have helmets because their weaponry can kill from a distance. And so you want to have as much protection on as possible. In other areas, we now have put helmets on our bikes so that when we go bicycling, we can protect our head because some of us fall off. Those of us in the workplace have to wear helmets so that in construction, we protect our skull from things falling from above us. The idea here is to protect the skull as best as possible. Football, all of us know that the big thing now is the concussions and the injuries to the players, of which I think is a long time coming. And it should be the protection of the player. The owners are making a tremendous investment. Our employers are making a tremendous investment into us. And so, when they issue garments of protection, they expect us to wear them. And periodically, when I'm on a job site, you will see me, or one of my cohorts, dressed in our regalia, and part of that regalia is this helmet. But I want to use it in such a way that it brings to home, as an object lesson, showing how important it is for us to protect our mind, will, and emotions. The enemy's purpose is to continuously assault our minds, to place fear, doubt, unbelief, and confusion into our minds. The whole purpose is to steal away the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And a person without hope is already defeated. Those of us that have played sports understand that when we have a coach that gives up, the team gives up. When you have a coach that's always telling the team, you know, we've got a shot to win this. We may be losing by 4 touchdowns, but we got a shot to win this. It's to keep hope alive in the hearts of those individuals who are playing that game, or in military terms, we're going to take that hill. And we've decimated, our people are dying all around us, but our lead guys are telling them, we're going to take that hill. Doesn't matter what our casualties, doesn't matter what our losses are, what matters is we obtain the objective. And that's what has to be renewed in the mind of the believer today. There is an objective to the church of Jesus Christ, and the enemy is viciously attacking the people. And how he attacks God's people, first of all, is to fill their hearts with fear. They look around and say, well, you know what? We're not a great number. How are we going to hit our mark? What is our mark? What's the mark that Streams has laid out for us? Well, I like that faith, but it's $50,000 to make, so we have an unsecured loan with the bank. $50,000. The network has raised $134,000 for Pastor Rod's church because that was what was damaged in 3 weeks' time. You think our God can't give us 50 grand or more? And I know I'm petitioning God like he needs to be reminded. But I need to keep hope in my heart and look to him who is my hope. The enemy will try to instill unbelief. It'll never happen. Why should I ask these people to give? Well, if you're not enthusiastic about God and what he's doing in these days, what do you come to church for? The object of the church is not to sit around and have cushy seats and say, oh, you know, I'm saved, that's great. You got saved to go save somebody else. That's your destiny. Who have you talked to in the past week, past month, past year about your relationship to Jesus Christ? Only you can answer that. I talk to people incessantly. And now God has led me to some people who have access to construction equipment. Who are you talking to? You see, I'm about Father's business. Jesus was 12 years old, and he left the caravan, and he went back, and he straightened out the Sadducees. And his parents got all upset, and they finally found him after 3 days, and he's in the temple, and he's instructing them who should know the ways of God. And Jesus says, what are you looking for me? I'm about my Father's business. Are you about your Father's business? You lay the name of Jesus Christ on your shoulders, and you still live like he doesn't exist. You're still doing what you feel that you should be doing. What you should be doing is, if you don't have the equipment, you need to get trained in the equipment. When the gas company spends money on me and invests money to protect me, they're serious about this. I'm serious about what the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to do. I have a destiny. I have a mandate from heaven to equip you to do the works of service. You should be beating my door down in the days that I'm free. What can I do, Pastor? I need to do this. God has laid this on my heart. How can I do that? Not sitting back waiting for me to say, okay, we're going to have this lesson. We're going to have that lesson. Well, I'm just too busy. Well, Jesus could have said that too, but you know what? He went to the cross for you and for me. And there's nothing I won't do for my King. I sit here as a bowl of teary eyes and stuff because God's presence is so heavy upon me, and I am thanking Him that He is finally touching His people and providing for us. That, you know what? If you're still sitting in your chairs like you've done when you first come walking in 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I question your salvation. I question your relationship to Jesus Christ. Because you should know by now who you are. You should be so active in the things of God. And if you're not, my question is, why? Well, Pastor, you know, I got so much going on. Is it what God wants you to do? Well, did you ask Him? Well, I work 50 hours a week. I do this. I have sporting events. My kids are doing this and that. We did too. And we still did the things of God. Didn't work for us. It ain't going to work for you. You see, the enemy is filling your head up with a bunch of garbage, and you don't know who you are in Jesus Christ. You think you know what I'm all about. And my Bible says, you know no man after the flesh, but know him by the Spirit. My spirit is a warring spirit. How about yours? I'm equipped. I'm doing what God's told me to do. And I am being assaulted by the enemy. My family's being assaulted by the enemy. Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. No, you don't understand. This is life and death for them out there. You've received life. You've received Jesus Christ. And you run around out there in the world thinking it's a playground when it's a battleground. People's eternal positioning depends on what we do today, what we determine today, what we think about. Do you have your helmet on? Well, Pastor, I'm in your Word. I read God's Word. Okay. That's good. I can't make Bible study because I'm busy on Tuesday night. Okay, that's fine. I can't make prayer either because I got something else going on. Fine. You're not upsetting me. You see, I'm going to give an account for what He has told me to do. And then when He's done with me, He's going to say, step aside, son. Rashima, come up here. I want to talk to you. What's your account going to be like? You see, I am deathly afraid, in reverential fear of God. I respect Him. I know His power. I know what He wants to do. And I know there's nobody that can stop Him. No one. And He's on my side as He's on your side. The only thing stopping, I've said this before, the only thing stopping is you. How you think, how you conduct yourself, and what you do with that stuff. You should be a warrior for Jesus Christ in less than 3 years' time. You should be. I've had the men come to me, and we had the Band of Brothers ceremony, in which every man got a sword. And my heart is that the men would rise up in this church and start for once to have the intestinal fortitude to be a man of God instead of a child of God. A baby of God. God's not looking for babies or kids. He's looking for men. Men. That's who He's looking for. And He's found four, and I'm looking for more. He's not looking for us to to do great and wondrous things. He's looking for us to be obedient to what He has taught us to do. It isn't the works that we do that moves God's hand. It isn't the Bible studies that we attend to. It isn't any of that stuff. It isn't trying to impress me on how you live or how you don't live. Do you know what moves the hand of God? Faith moves the hand of God. And I'm believing God for some tremendous things. I'm past the budgetary needs that we have. I'm believing God for even more now. I'm already believing Him for property for our satellite. I'm already believing God to raise up elders in the church. I'm believing God to raise up pastors, prophets, other apostles, teachers, evangelists. What are you praying for? I'm believing this. And where do you think they're coming from? I'm looking at them. I'm looking at them. Well, you know, I didn't go to Bible school. Neither did I. Well, I'm not as educated as you, Pastor. That may be your downfall. If you think you have to be educated, you need to be educated by the things of God, by the Spirit of God, like I was. I'm not intimidated with people who have PhDs and stuff. I just sit there and listen to their baloney-ness, and then I ask them a simple question. What are you doing for God? And you see them get all puffed up, you know? Well, you know, I don't have to do that. What do you mean you don't have to? Are you involved in the things of God, with the people of God? No, I just go tell them what to do. Well, then, you know what? They need to read the Bible, because if you don't work alongside of them, they don't have to work with you. They can go find somebody else. Check it out. That's what the Word says. You've got to have your thinking caps on. You've got to protect your mind. You've got to protect your will. Anything other than God's will, you're in disobedience. It's simple as that. Anything that's not of faith is sin. Well, Pastor, you know, I can't believe like you believe. I didn't get here yesterday. This is 28 years in the making. And when I got saved, the first thing He did was work on me. And He's not done. He's got stuff in me that He's still got to get rid of. And I thank my spiritual sons for loving me, because they realize that although I have faith, I also have problems. But those problems don't keep me from becoming that which God has called me to do, and will not stop me from accomplishing His plans for my life and the life of this church. There's no excuses in the kingdom of God. But you know what? I hear a lot of it. Well, Pastor, when you retire, do you know there's no retirement this side of heaven? You retire when you die. And it's an eternal dividend payer, you know. You have to make that investment to reap the benefits of it. The enemy is busy bashing in our heads. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. Starting in verse 8. It says, but since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. My hope is not in my ability or yours. My hope is in His ability. He's the one that's made the promise. It's His responsibility to keep my heart full of faith and hope. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we were awake or asleep, live or dead, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are already doing. I'm exhorting you. Exhortation is part of encouraging the church. We need to shake off those bands those handy bands that hold us and say, you know what, God? I see what you say. I'm going to do it. And just watch what God does. See, that's the type of person I am. I read it and I do it. My wife will say, well, you're a little impetuous. You're going to get in trouble. And I do. I get in trouble. But I do what God says. And I'm not sorry for it. I'm not apologizing for it. Satan wants to fill our minds with empty, evil thoughts designed to keep us yielded to his will, not God's will. He tells us lies about God the Father. He gives us examples to focus on in our lives that my Father wasn't like this. That's not who your Father in heaven is. I'll tell you who your Father in heaven is if you've got some time. Not today. Because I have a mission today. Once we yield to his lies and his deception, we become dislodged in our position or our place in the body of Jesus Christ. All of this is for us to understand. There is a position that the army of God, the people of God, must take. And if we are not dressed properly, we will be given to those things that the enemy wants us to do. And as I said, once we bend over to take what he wants to throw, he does an end around and he destroys our loved ones and causes so much panic and stuff in our families that we're wondering, how in the world that ever happened? Poor little Bobby, you know. It's going to run long. Poor little Bobby, you know, shame of what happened to him. Were you in position? Did the enemy throw something in there that made you go, ooh, and grab a hold of that, get you out of position so that he could come in like a flood? See, the object here of the armor isn't a spiritual thing in which it just happens. There's a reason why God gave us this armor. And this armor is for our protection so that when people come and accuse us for doing wrong things or says evil things about us or does things to us, that we can stand in the armor of God and love them back. When someone says something about your family and it's not true, does it hurt? Absolutely. But do you know how you're supposed to respond? When someone makes an accusation against you, do you know how to stand and buffet that and how to take the shield of faith up? Do you? Am I making you uncomfortable? I should be. That's part of my job specs. Am I challenging you to start thinking differently about your life? You have a purpose. Well, I just don't know what it is. How long have you been saved? Oh, I've been saved 5-6 years. And you don't know what your purpose is. Go sit down and time out. Go sit and time out. I'll come talk to you in a little bit. I got to go talk to the general and commander about you. Pastor, you know what God said to me? You know what he said to me? No, what did he say to you? I already know. He said, I'm a mighty man of faith. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You see, too long the church has been agreeing with the liar, the deceiver. We need to start agreeing with God the Father and what he says about us. Well, you don't get it. You know, I'm ethnically such and such. You pick your ethnicity as an excuse. Black, white, purple, green, Martian, whatever. I don't care. I just don't have the opportunities. Well, you don't have the opportunities because you're looking at the here and now. You're not looking at the eternal one. What's he say? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. It's not by might or power. It's by my spirit, said God. You don't have position because you're in the wrong position. You don't have authority because you haven't been trustworthy to have it. Here's the keys to the car, Steve. Go drive my car. Ain't happening. I don't know what his driving habits are like. God wants to get you in a way that you start thinking like Him. You have the mind of Christ. And you think about lowly things. You don't think about your position in Christ. You don't think about the heavenly things that God wants you to apprehend. And how cool it is to walk in the power and authority. That's what He was trying to teach Moses. Moses sitting there at the Red Sea. Oh God, save us! Pharaoh's behind us, he's going to kill us! And God said to Moses, this ain't the time to be praying, dude. Pick up that staff, divide the waters, and go across on dry land. That's the God we serve. He can do above anything we ask or can imagine. That's His ability. You think creating the universe was tough for Him? No. What's tough is when I sit there and I listen to these nitwits on TV trying to dispel the Creator. I think it's so cool how ignorant they are. A lot of times, we're armed with truth, but we don't know how to use it. A lot of times, we read the Word of God, and we have problems learning to live it. Let's settle one thing. In Romans 5, it says, therefore, since we have been justified, declared not guilty, through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? He's not mad at you. He's not mad at me. Jesus has taken care of the problem. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. By His grace, He now has positioned you. And by grace, He has given you armor. Which part of it is the helmet of salvation. To keep your mind thinking on good, holy, pure things. Isn't that what Philippians 4 talks about? 4:9? Think on these things. Don't think on these lowly things. Don't think on those things. Through whom we have gained access through faith in this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so that we may rejoice in our sufferings, but we also know that our sufferings produce perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Do you have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in you? Do you? Then you should be a terrorist for the kingdom of heaven. Loving radically. Helping. Involved. Winning souls. Serving. Not just in the church, but serving your community. Let me give you a secret. Jesus Christ died to make us kings, right? What do kings do? They reign and have dominion. He has given you dominion to rule and reign, not just to be a janitor, but maybe have a janitor business. Maybe to have a corporation. He's educated you for a greater purpose, not for what's here and now. You have to begin to start thinking like a king that you are and asking the King of Kings what He wants you to do, the design that He has on your life. All the stuff that you were, that's gone. That was at the cross. That was buried in the waters of baptism. Ed was brought into the body of Christ through baptism. It isn't a tradition. It isn't for the salvation of your soul. It's for you to enter in to a covenant relationship with the people of God. And God pours this grace out on us in the hope of our salvation. to enable us to stand in the position that He has given to us. He has given us those positions to withstand the attacks of the enemy, to protect the person on my left and on my right, because there's nobody behind me but God. He is my rear guard. And He is out in front of me. There's no reinforcements, guys. Why aren't there reinforcements? We won. We won. We're taking a victory stand now. 1 Peter 5 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout all the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering." If I'm enduring under intense pressure, and I'm thinking about my brothers in Guatemala or in Iran, Iraq, where they're being killed, their homes are being burnt down, and their churches are being destroyed, that's true persecution. We have a government that is anti-God. You can believe what you want to believe, but the truth is the truth. It's anti-God. It wants to move God out of the sovereignty of this nation so that government can be the God. And you know what happens to nations that do that? They become no more. They become no more. We are in dire straits, and the people of God need to wake up. It is the time for the church to arise and shine. It's time for us to help our brothers and sisters. It's time for us to invade the cities that are being destroyed. Just look at it, the fiscal irresponsibility of our cities. There's more poverty today than there was 4 years ago. There's more people on a government doles than there was 4 years ago. And where's the church? Teenage pregnancy is starting to accelerate again. STDs are prolific. Promiscuity on TV is becoming more and more pronounced. Where is the church? Local governments, education. You pick the subject matter. Where's God in it? God is not to be found, except in the church. And the church is hiding behind the four walls, hoping that it'll change. We're going to change it. We're not hiding behind four walls. Those four walls are to bring the harvest in. But we're to go out and get it. And we are. Helmet of salvation. Next, we take the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit. I've given each one of my sons a sword, of which I have a sword. I have actually two swords. I have King Solomon's sword, too. But for demonstration purposes, it'll fit the picture. It's one thing to be armed in truth, which is the sword of the Spirit. It's quite another know how to use it. Okay? I read the word. Good. Are you putting it into action? Well, yeah, I just sliced and diced my brother in the Lord. He already grit. That's not what the sword of the Spirit's for. Yeah, we're supposed to sharpen each other. Iron sharpens iron. That's what it's for. What we're to do, to practice with each other. In practical sense, it looks like, you know, when Daniel and I sit down and we talk, we fence back and forth. He may have a different approach to a subject matter that I may have. My job is not to convince him of my position, or vice versa. It's to hear what God is saying through him or to me and see what the scriptures are saying. That's how we sharpen one another. A sword is an extension of the body. And you can tell how a person is equipped by the way they use a sword. Okay? When I extend the sword out, what does that look like? That keeps my enemy at bay. So that they can't come in here and stab me. They have to shoot me with flaming arrows. But if I don't have my breastplate of righteousness on, those accusations, those lies and stuff will pierce my heart. The sword is no good. I can't go to fight if I don't have my armor on. If I'm not walking what I'm talking. Well, you see, when I'm in church, I'm really religious and I love everybody, and that's good. What about the other 6 days? Well, the other 6 days don't matter, do they? Because God said he rested on the seventh, so I'm going to give him some honor and all, but I'm going to live the way I want to live. When you go to war, does a warrior drop his sword for 6 days? No, he doesn't. Is he only trained for one day? No, he's not trained for one day. When he's at war, this doesn't leave his side. And when he pulls it out, he's about to do battle. And when we use the word of truth, we cut away the lies. We cut away the deception. We cut away the bondage and chains that are on other people. What does that look like? It looks like the arguments. It looks about the vain imaginations. It looks about all the misrepresentation of who God is and what he wants to do. Well, I can believe what I want to believe. You can! You can believe anything you want, and you're going to go to hell believing it. My heart breaks because I'm trying to enlighten you and give you the truth, and you don't want it. That's why Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He was the truth. He is the truth. And they wouldn't come to him. They kept him at bay. When we come into this fellowship, I hug my brothers and stuff. But people I don't know, at bay. Not because I don't like you. I don't know you. My sword's up. I'm on defense. Not on defense. Because if you're on defense, then your crotch gets hurt. Ba-dum-bum. But it's true. It's true. Especially if it's barbed wire. No problem. Hebrews 4 describes the sword of the Spirit. He says, "For the word of God is a living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword." This is a double-edged sword. It's sharper than that. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing is at all in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes, to whom we all must give an account. You can have the word of truth and not know how to use it. In this fellowship, you will know how to use it. There's going to be 10,000 fall at my right side, another 10,000 on my left. But those who are locked arm in arm, we know the truth, we're going to go out and we're going to kick booty in Jesus' name. And that's love people out of their sin. We will use the truth of Jesus Christ to pull down all these vain imaginations, pull down every argument, pull down every excuse that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Jesus Christ. That's what we're to do. Well, you know what? I don't want to offend anybody. You know, they have the right to believe what they want to believe. Then what you're saying is you have the right not to tell them the truth, that you have the right to watch them go to hell, of which Jesus saved you from. That's what you're telling me. Well, let me tell you. I was put on this planet, and my wife will tell you, I offend everybody. I am not prejudiced in that. Why? Jesus offended everybody. And if it was good enough for my Lord and King, guess what? It's good enough for Gary. You have the right to believe it, but I had the right to preach it to you and tell you the truth. Because my God told me I had that right. And I do. And I use it. I have the sword to prove it. And when I sharpen this bad boy up, watch out. Haircut time. Who remembers what was etched on this? Not. No matter the cost. That is Greek. To remind us that nothing is too much for us to pay because Christ paid it all. Nothing costs too much. So I say to you, as I'm disarming, where are you going to stand? You know what? You may have been deceived. You may have been a recipient of lies. You may be fearful. You may never have heard preaching like this before. But let me tell you the truth. The patterns that God has had are going away. There is only going to be one pattern of a church that is coming and is already here. That is an apostolic church. I'm not talking about the apostolic religion. I'm talking about an apostolic church. A church that is always going out. Always filled with power. Always believing in the destiny of the Lord Jesus Christ has for them. Never submitting to authorities that have no right to be submitted to. It is a brass and bold church. It is a church that forgives and loves much, but is a church that is not filled with pew sitters. I ask everyone to stand. Father, we come before you, and I have given your people what you have instructed me to give to them. Lord, we count it a privilege, for we were created for a time as this, God. Cause the men to rise up. The women are already there, God. Cause the men to rise up. Cause them, Father, to not just be mamby-pamby, not to be just males, not just to be progenitors, but, Father, be men of God. Cause them to join the ranks of our band of brothers, God. Cause them not to settle for anything less, and when they've hit that goal, God, go out and chase the enemy. Father, you have given us a vision showing that the arrows were going out, driving the darkness back. Lord, we're loading up your bow. We're going to let you shoot them out, God, because it is by your hand that it happens anyhow. God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, God, that this armor is just not something to talk about. It's something to be dressed up and for us to walk in, God. This is the armor of light that each and every one of us has. Hopefully, God, that we've exposed some of the ways that the enemy would use to entice us, God, to get out of our ranks. To cause us not to fulfill the call. To fill our hearts with fear. God, we are lions. Because we are part of the tribe of the Lion of Judah. We praise you all the more. Because you are a living God. The only true and living God. There is none like you. There is none beside you. And we are your people, God. Father. Have your way with streams, God. You're the one who spoke it into being. You're the one who has spoke each and every person to be here, God. It is by your word, God, and by your voice we will respond to. It is by your leading, God, that we will accomplish great and mighty things in your name. And God, Your house will be full. Your house will be full of praisers, lovers of you, God. And it doesn't matter what the enemy throws against us, God. We will praise you all the more as we see the intensity of this warfare. It does not matter, God. It does not matter what tribe we come from, God, in the natural. It matters of what tribe we end up in. And that is the tribe of the family of God. God, I pray for a spirit of boldness to come upon this congregation now, God, in the name of Jesus, God, I bind that spirit of fear and I cast you out in Jesus' name. Cause the lion's whelp to roar from here today, Lord God, that we will not settle for anything less than the ultimate and the optimum, God. Bless your people, God. Give them everything that they need to be sustained, God, through this time. God, bring us into contact with those people that you want us to share the good news with and win to you, God. Help us to build those bridges, Father. Help us to be bold to share the good news. And help us, Father, to be enthusiastic about you, Lord, and what you're doing, God. Because you tell us we can do nothing without you. So, Father, do not leave us. Do not forsake us, God. Constantly be with us. That's why we gather to honor you and bless you on this day, God. For you are worthy, and we are a thankful people that we know we have salvation. We know, God, that we are your child. We know we are destined to rule and reign today. Not in the by and by, today. We know we sit in heavenly places, Father. We know that, God, there is no good thing you withhold from us, God, that we should not beg you, Father, but we come boldly to your throne and ask, God, and you shall meet it, God. Father, cause your people to have a different mindset this day as to who they are and who they are to you. God, be blessed forever and ever, for your name is holy, and we lift your name up on high as our banner, Jesus the Holy One. Amen.